Hey, this is Mike.
And Dino.
From the Seven Shot Screamers.
Hey, I'm Kim Nickerman from the Horror Pops.
And you're checking out The Grind on punkradiocast.com. Punk Radio Cast.
That's right. This is volume 30 of The Grind on punkradiocast.com. My name is Chris, and today I'll be doing my best to get you guys all amped up for that big event next week that is called Halloween. I don't care if you're trick-or-treating, just staying home, watching a movie, or just going out and partying it up with your fellow ghouls and goblins. This show is aimed to get you all amped up. We will be playing a lot of good music, as well as a couple interviews coming at you today. One with the Seven Shot Screamers, and before we get into that, we'll kick things off with an interview with Kim Nickerman from the Horror Pops. Right now, you're listening to a track called Keep the Flame Alive by the Seven Shot Screamers. Let's switch it up right now. This is by the Horror Pops off of their 2004 release, Hell Yeah. This is Julia on The Grind.
Welcome to Volume 30 of The Grind on Punk Radio Cast. We are here in Regina today, checking out the Horror Pops. We're here with...
Kim Nickerman.
How are you doing today, man?
I'm a little tired because I've been driving a lot. We lost our driver down in Reno.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was trying to be a hero and jump off stage, so he fucked up his knee and we had to ship him back home.
Nice.
Which means that I have to take over driver duties.
So how was that drive from Calgary last night?
Very long. Monotonous.
Yeah, exactly. It was kind of like being, it was like, we called it the Canadian Kansas because it was like flat, straight. The road was good though because the trip from Vancouver to Calgary is like pure hell,
yeah.
Mountains.
Little tiny passes around.
Yeah. So it's all right. It, you know, it's something you have to deal with. I don't mind driving actually. I find it cool.
This is you're almost to the halfway point of your tour. How's it been going so far?
Great, especially up here in Canada.
We love you up here in Canada.
Apparently, I mean, we love you too, but it's obvious in the U.S., people don't have any money, mm-hmm. I guess, because of the election, because of the fuel prices. There's a bunch of summer festivals, so not a whole lot of people show up to shows these days, and that hurts like all the bands we know are like complaining. Yeah.
Really feeling the pinch.
Yeah, I guess school just started, and you know, but we played the first show we played up here in Canada was Victoria, mm-hmm. which was the first time, and it was like packed.
You guys even moved the venue in that for that show, right?
That's true. From I think originally it was like a little bar,
yeah,
and they just sold so many pre-sales, so they had to move it up to like a decent venue, which was awesome.
Yeah, good deal. Good
yeah.
deal.
Now, with we were talking about financial issues down in the States, and it's sort of rippling throughout the world. As a band, with the price of gas these days, how does that affect you? Are you able to play as many shows as you would like to, or does that really limit that?
Well, we're still able to play the shows, but like it really hurt us and a lot of bands on, say, like Warped Tour.
Yeah.
A lot of bands had to jump off or go from their big buses to their vans. It just means that you make less money, which, you know, I guess that's all right.
Yeah. I know, hey, like, you guys might be trying to do a sound check, but we're trying to do an interview
exactly.
here.
This is important.
So, did you, were you able to bring your whole crew along with you for this tour?
No. We don't have our dancers.
Oh, that's too bad.
We don't have our dancers, and that was mainly because of immigration problems.
Okay.
Apparently, the Canadian customs or immigration are saying that we could hire dancers up here.
Locally.
Yeah, and that doesn't really make sense.
Not the same deal.
No. Shut the fuck up. So, yeah, well, we just went straight to what we started out as like a trio, and it works fine. I mean, it seems like people pay more attention to the band. It doesn't sound different, obviously, but instead of the guys are looking up the girls' skirts, they're checking out my chops. So it's cool.
I mean, as I have not ever seen you guys play live before, but everyone that I've talked to who has seen you or is just a big fan mentions that it's just a big production in itself. I mean, the band itself, awesome, music, just great. And then the visual things that stand out, like your stand-up bass and just the instruments themselves, and of course the go-go dancers as well. So what do you feel is the biggest thing that represents you in the horror pops?
I don't know. That's a hard question. I just think, like, the core of the band as it is now, that's what represents the band. I mean, we started out as a three piece, coming from different genres, and we just wanted to be in a band, make music that didn't have to be like, oh, this is not punk rock enough, or you know, just whatever. And that's kind of what the band is. Yeah, I guess we can seem colorful. I mean, like with the hair and the big instruments, and
I think the diversity that you all bring to the band is something that makes the band personally as a fan stand out. What different? I know I hate throwing genres out there and everything, but what different musical influences do you weave throughout your tunes?
I guess everything from Dolly Parton to Motorhead. Everything in between. We even have a hard time to agree on one band we all like, because it's just, you know, I mean, like everybody, we listen to a wide variety of music, and where I'm more leaning toward, you know, like the psychobilly, rockabilly genre.
Yeah.
But I also love like 80s, new wave. A lot of gothic music,
some ska elements tossed in there as well.
Fuck yeah, the surf music, anything, you know, it's just a big, big pot of all kinds of
genre. Pot of awesomeness just mixed in there.
Yeah, because I mean, I must admit, I rarely, it's hard for me to put on an album with whatever band and not get bored after two or three songs. I usually like, you know, like a compilation, which is fine, because then you get fed up with that, and then it doesn't matter how good the band is, I still like, okay, move on, something new, you know.
I think that stands out in your recordings, that not every song does sound the same within the same, you know, this is a cookie cutter part of this song here.
just the wide mix of everything. Like, you can go to the next track and it'd be something different than what you just heard.
Exactly, and that, and you know, especially because we don't want to have any certain tag on our music. You know, like when we got signed to Hellcat, it was like, so what should we marketing you guys as? We're like, I don't know.
Good luck with that, right? Yeah. Trying to figure out what
a little bit of everything, you know.
You guys tend to tour with a lot of psychobilly, rockabilly style bands. How does that play into what the horror pops are?
Actually, not really. Especially the first few years, we were like trying to make a point out of not, you know, playing with psychobilly, rockabilly related.
Not just in that category and be labeled as.
So, and I think when I look back, we mostly been touring with punk rock bands. Mm-hmm. Not until recently we tried to, like, you know, kind of help out that scene, and a lot of the people in our audience is into that music, but there's also a lot of people into punk rock, so we kind of like changed it up. Like, yeah, this tour we brought along the Seven Shot Screamers from St. Louis.
Yep.
But they're not your typical psychobilly band. If you look at them, it's funny to see people's reactions every night. People that haven't seen them before, they're like, what the fuck is this? Because they don't look anything like psychobilly or rockabilly. They look like hippies.
Yeah.
or, you know, whatever. And that's what we're all about, you know. Fucking just no conformity, just, you know, fuck the uniforms. As long if it rocks, you know.
In the end, I mean, it's all about doing it for yourself and having fun while you're doing it, right? So
totally. I mean, it's about us having fun, and it's about our audience having fun.
You mentioned Hellcat a little bit earlier. What was the recording process like when you worked with Brett Gurewitz?
Yeah, that was on our second album. I mean, that was amazing. Like, Patricia's been a huge Bad Religion, Epitaph fan. And she was like stoked, and it was cool. I mean, it was really cool. That was the first time I really worked with a producer, but it wasn't as weird as I thought it would be, because I always had these thoughts that it would be like somebody coming in, changing my music and saying do this and that, but it wasn't like that at all. He basically just listened to our music and he was like, I really like what you're doing, just do what you're doing, and then he tried to get the best sound out of that. And
just tweak what you guys had already put down.
But like our last album, we did the whole thing ourselves again, so, because, I mean, yeah, it was cool, Brett Gurvich's name was on it, but I mean, we can do the same thing ourselves. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What is life on the road like with the constant touring that you guys put on?
It's hard, and especially for me, because I also play in another band. So when this band is not on tour or recording, the other band is recording or touring.
We're talking about the Necromantics here?
Exactly, Necromantics. And I mean, how has it been on tour? Sometimes it's boring, but we wouldn't do it if we didn't love it. I mean, this being on tour, playing live is what it's all about. Doing albums is something you have to do to keep it fresh, to, you know, make new songs, and to get more shows. So being on, I mean, we just upgraded from our big shuttle bus to like an RV.
Yep, I saw that out there.
Which is nice because we have, you know, a little home in there.
Yeah, a little bit more connection to home life on that.
How would you rate touring with your band Necromantics versus with the Horror Pops, where it's more sort of a family thing? I mean, you have Patricia, your wife, as well as your friends from back home when they could actually make it across the old Canadian border there. Mm-hmm. Is that, do you prefer one to the other, or?
No, I like both. I mean, I feel that both of them is like family. It's very similar. I mean, because I'm me and I kind of do the same thing in whatever band I'm in. As for what I prefer, it's kind of like, okay, been on the road for a while playing guitar, I actually kind of start missing playing the bass.
Yeah.
And vice versa, so. I think I like having the variation. It's cool.
Was that a difficult transition for you to switch from the bass to the guitar?
Not really, so, not really.
I mean, it's fairly.
It was different. I mean, the reason why we did it was Patricia, she played guitar, and the reason why we changed instruments was to get a different approach to what writing music, and we just stuck to it, and it's cool. I like it. I mean, it wasn't that difficult. There's two more strings on the thing, and it's a totally different instrument, but it wasn't different.
But the knowledge does carry over, and it's just a different way to write, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of the writing process, how do you guys manage to take? Do you guys have to take certain time off, or do you come up with things on the road while you're touring and sort of jot it down or just lay it down?
No, not really. It's more like a process where we're like, okay, this time frame we need to write songs, so we kind of give ourselves a deadline, which can be tough sometimes. I totally love doing it like that because I'm not the type that sits, you know, during the day and looking at the sky and being all poetic.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, now I need to write some songs and I'm
very focus oriented when you're on that one task. Yeah, and you have time for that.
That's me personally. I mean, sometimes it would be nice to have a little more time, but then again, you know, you have to keep it fresh, you have to stay on the road, and I mean, some of these kids are, you know, 14, 15, 16, and in a year from now, they forget everything and are moving on, you know.
Yeah,
so,
onto something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've read that along the way on this All Hallows Eve tour that you were initially, and let me know if this has been working out or not, trying to work deals with the local venues for if fans brought out customized hot rods or anything of that nature. Have you seen a lot of cool cars come over?
Not that many. I wish I'd seen more, but I think I guess the weather has a lot to do with it. Yeah, I mean, this is not California, so
all those nice cars are put away in the garage by now.
Exactly. I mean, I saw a hearse yesterday, like a 60s Cadillac hearse, and I'm a huge Cadillac hearse fan.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't as nice as my own, but it was nice.
It was good to see one again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen a few, not enough.
Yeah.
What has the transition been from moving away from your hometown
and home country, relocating to the States. I mean, you're on the road so much as it is.
Exactly. Yeah. It's I mean, it's not that much different. I mean, it's nice to be in Los Angeles because it's close to the record label. It's close to a lot of things. It's very convenient. We love the weather. Denmark is more like here.
Yeah.
Freaking cold and I hate it, but like you say, we're mostly on the road, so it's not that big a difference. It's just more convenient because most of our touring is out of the States or from the States, and it's not that big a difference.
It's more so a home base and a new mailing address, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, you could say that. Yeah.
So for fans of Punk Radio Cast who might not have been exposed to the horror pops before, if they're coming to a show, what can they be expecting?
Well, they can expect a lot of energy. We are not the type of band that tries to sound like the album, because then people could, you know, stay home and listen to the album. We're trying to give some sort of show. Patricia interacts a lot with the audience. And if we fuck up, we laugh about it. We don't get mad at each other. I mean, I've seen bands that are, you know...
I've seen bands break up after, like, just something stupid on stage. I mean, it happens, right?
And you know, you can take it with a smile. And I mean, I think exactly that, doing little fuck-ups or, you know, jam out, do something, that's what people want to see, because that's not what they hear on the album.
That's part of the live experience.
Exactly. Yeah. And these days, everybody can sound good on the album. I mean, everybody can have their little home computer recording and make it sound great. But being up there and performing, that's a different thing.
What do you think about how the internet these days has let a lot of bands that might not get the exposure that they're getting flood their music out there? Do you find there's more... it's more watered down in some way, or...?
Yes. Well, I think we talked about that the other day, and... it's a lot of crap.
Yeah.
It's like before you kind of had to go through the efforts of like, you know,
reaching these certain levels that, you know.
Yeah, because yeah. So else it was just, now I see like on MySpace, I see people like, oh, this is this band. I'm like, well, that sounds interesting. Then I hear it, I'm like, wow, that's nuts. No, that's yeah. not cool. Why would you? But that's the whole internet thing, you know. People let other people into their fucking panties right online, and it's like,
yeah,
the borders are totally different. Especially, I guess not to a kid that's grown up with it, but for us that was around teenagers before the internet, it's like weird.
I was I'm of the age that it was just sort of coming in when I was growing up, but I didn't have that my whole life. And there's definitely certain things I'm like, really, why?
Yeah.
Why expose so much detail about yourself on the nets? And it's a totally different new culture, I guess. Totally different.
And like I say, when I started out with my other band, Necromantics, 20 years ago, when we were communicating with fans, we received like snail mail.
Yeah. Like actual mailbox
stuff. And like nowadays people just shove it in people's faces like, oh, you fucking suck, or you know, stuff like that. It's like, oh, why would you go through so much effort if you really hate a band, go on their side? I see a lot of like internet fighting, but you know, mostly it's little geeks and nerds sitting back home, you know, the computer,
the anonymity of the internet, you can say all sorts of stuff,
all sorts of things, and you can like pretend to be something else, and I guess that's the key. So I mean, I laugh at it and I find it, you know, funny.
Now, the other side of the internet is the availability of your own music that you've put money down and hard work into, and people can just couple clicks download it. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it sucks. The thing is, it could be a good thing and a bad thing, because it could be a band on a level where they actually are able to get exposure. Mm-hmm. I think it's fucked up that they don't get the money they deserve. Not that I'm all about money, and before people start yelling, oh, sellout, I mean, the fact is, I'm either doing this and make a living, or I have like a normal job and I'm not able to do music.
Yeah.
You know, it's a huge commitment to do what we do. Some people don't understand that. They think it's all about, you know, being a rock star is easy. Yeah, right.
There is that other side of it where you have to be able to fund your art, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, not only that, and you know, have a you know, make a living. And a lot of people are like, oh, I love this band back in the old days, why don't they play anymore? Well, because they got a family, they get babies to feed, you know, and they're just like, you don't get paid that well. And it's a 24/7 job, you know. It's not like after the show we can go home. The closest to home is a thing with four wheels, you know.
Yeah.
And we're still in close quarters with everybody else. We can't just, you know, it's a whole different lifestyle. And
I was happy to see we were sort of lurking around your merch table beforehand. I saw that you had all of your releases on vinyl. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's important to feed the vinyl to the sort of the resurgence of vinyl that seems to be out there right now?
It looks like there's like a revival of it, but we've always been into vinyl. Patricia's a huge vinyl collector, and for some reason, our fans, or like a big amount of them, digs vinyl too. So. Yeah.
Just a natural.
I mean,
stick.
it's been a kind of a fight ever since the first one to like to talk the label into actually making vinyl, because they're like, oh, but this other band, they don't sell anything, and we're like well,
that's that other band, that's
exactly, but now they know that our fans actually purchase vinyl, so and you know, it's a different media.
Definitely.
Huge, and you know, I mean, I do all the artwork for our releases, and you know, it's just nice to see it like
big, like, and not little tiny thumbnail.
Exactly, or the next step, you know, when CDs are not around anymore, everything is like online, and people print it out on the crappy computers, and
I think with bands, when they release something, it's more of just, more than just the tracks that are put out there, it's the whole package, for me at least, and I think for a lot of people like yourself.
Yeah, because you pick up an album either at a show or at a local record store where they order it at home, depending on where you live. And you sit there, you look at it, you know, read through it, and you don't do that online.
No, definitely not.
You don't do that online and, you know, put it in your stereo. I don't know. It seems to me like, especially over here in North America compared to Europe, that like home stereos where I'm from, like big old things now, they just have, you know, little computer speakers and...
It's a place to plug in your iPod and that's your home stereo.
Yeah.
Is there anything, any bands out there that you guys might have on the radar that perhaps Punk Radio Cast listeners might not be aware of that you'd like to toss out there?
I don't even know. Well, definitely to check out the Seven Shot Screamers and who else? I can't come up with anybody right now because...
Just to put you on the spot.
Yeah, I know, but it's just, you know, I'm trying to think back and like 2 months of Warped Tour just was kind of overload.
Yeah.
With bands and like... thing. So, but definitely check out the Seven Shot Screamers and you know, give bands that aren't big yet a chance because you might discover something that you like, and that's what I see often with guys like these. Oh, those are so cool. What was their name again? You know,
I think a lot of times if people are listening to this style of music within the punk scene at all in any aspect, there's more digging for artists that aren't, you know, pushed out there as much. So that's a very, very valid comment, I think.
Yeah, and live, especially with if you see a band you like, most often they bring out a band they like too. So there's a big chance that...
A good networking into music that way. Yeah.
Exactly.
Is there anything else you want to toss out there to the Punk Radio Cast listeners and viewers before we wrap things up?
Not really, rock.
Was the Horror Pops with Heading for the Disco. Just to do a recap of the musical selection that we heard during the Horror Pops segment, we kicked it all off with a track called Julia, and that was off of their 2004 Hell Yeah release. The next song that we heard was called Crawl Straight Home, that was off of 2005's Bring It On. and the last two selections of music. One was called Misfit, and then the one that we just heard, of course, Heading for the Disco, and those are off of the brand new Hellcat release, Kiss Kiss Kill Kill by the Horror Pops. Taking us into the interview with Mike and Dino from the Seven Shot Screamers, this one is off of their In Wonderland release, and it is called Confusion on the Grind, Volume 30.
Sing about love. Some people sing about hate. But me, I sing about confusion. I don't know anymore. You hear me singing. I can't try anymore. Sing about pain. Some people sing about strange ways. But me, I'm stuck on confusion. And I can't try anymore. You hear me singing. I don't care anymore.
This rocket spins around my soul. This rocket spins around my soul. Let's kill it.
About hate.
Sing about hate.
But me, I sing about confusion. So la ba ba da da da, skid ba ba do da do da, yip pop ga da da da, bit ba ba dim ba do, ba skip ba dip ba ba da dip ba dip ba da dip ga ra ba dip ga do, yip ba da da, ri ba da ba da, oh oh oh. Ba skip ba dim ba dim ba dim ba dim ba ba dim ga da da da.
Hey everyone, how's it going? Welcome back to Volume 30 of The Grind on Punk Radio Cast. We are here with the Seven Shot Screamers. How are you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Excellent.
Very, very good.
Good.
There's ass over there. How's the tour been so far, though? You've played a few shows with the Horror Pops, or is this you just sort of jumping on now?
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks now.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's real fun.
Welcome to Canada,
I guess.
Thanks.
Been here for a little bit.
But, yeah.
Coming over to St. Louis, you're not too... It's not nothing too crazy weather-wise for you. You got a lot of bad weather.
Yeah, we get a lot of shit. Am I allowed to cuss?
It's internet radio. You can cuss as much as you want.
Cool. We did something the other night, and the guy told us like after like we did it for like 15 minutes. I'm like, oh shit, I can't cuss. Well, yeah, we get tons of snow in St. Louis, you know, so it's no fun to drive in. This is a perfect time to be in Canada because it's not snowy. You know?
Yeah.
I don't mind the cold at all. It's too awesome.
It's good. Cools you down after a hard set, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was gonna say we're gonna be back in LA in like a month, and I know it's gonna be the exact same weather it always is there, you know. So,
So for people who are unfamiliar with the Seven Shot Screamers, what would you like them to know? What style of music are you guys, and that kind of stuff?
We play within the I don't know, man. It's like punk rock, and then it's rockabilly, psychobilly. You know, we play with an upright bass. It's, you know, rootsy kind of. Classy, jazzy, flashy, punk, power slop.
That sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't know, man. Yeah, we play punk rock shows, you know, and rockabilly shows and psychobilly shows. It's kind of where we end up playing.
Yeah. I understand. I was doing some research on you guys, and I saw that you have done some work with Xene from the band X. How did that all come to be?
She met her husband at one of our shows in St. Louis years ago, back in like 2001 or something like that. And then they just kind of stayed in touch. And, yeah, we ended up playing in there, backing up Xene.
Yeah.
And doing a record with her on Nitro Records. And, yeah, we did a, you know, a couple big tours with her doing that. And now she actually lives in St. Louis, or not in St. Louis, but like an hour outside of St. Louis.
Oh, cool.
She just moved out there, so see her a little more.
Small world, hey?
Yeah.
You guys have three releases so far under your belt, is that correct? Three?
Mm-hmm.
How has the musical style changed throughout the progression of your recordings?
It's changed a lot, but not really, it wasn't really planned, you know, just kind of, we started playing when we were like 17, you know, we've been together for about 10 years.
Yeah.
So when we started, you know, we were really into Eddie Cochran and Gene Vincent, Chuck Berry, just that, you know, very old school greaser style of rock and roll.
Yep.
And so we started just playing like that, and then as we just got older and stayed together, you know, and just kind of got back to our influences of just, you know, just
back to the
whatever we get into, man, it just kind of shows up in our music, you know, and you just kind of grow. And we've been lucky enough to not like have any kind of strict regimen, you know, thing
this
to.
This is how you must.
Yeah, right.
Fit into this.
We can kind of do whatever the hell we want. It's great.
TV by the Seven Shot Screamers.
Ladies and gentlemen,
What is it like right now being an indie band touring the circuit now versus when you guys were starting out? I mean, there's a lot more shit going on politically and financially, obviously, as well.
Yeah.
Does that play much effect onto you guys?
Yeah, man, definitely. You know, we've been touring hard for the last few years, you know, for the last, I don't know how many years, 5, 6, 7 years. And, yeah, this is the, you know, being on tour with the Horror Pops is an easy way to do it because they have such a solid fan base and they're the coolest band in the world to, you know, tour with, so it's definitely, you know, it's a nice difference to have a solid group you're touring with, you know, as opposed to just getting out there and playing the bars and hopefully making enough to you know,
to eat, show,
yeah, because, yeah, gas is brutal, man. It slowed us down a lot in the last year, man.
What, are there any bands that you guys are familiar with that might be sort of hidden treasures that you'd like to expose the Punk Radio Cast listeners to?
Yeah, man, definitely, depending on what kind of mood you're in. Our friend's band, the Two Time and Four, are worth checking out. We used to tour with them a lot. Turbo ACs, which they're people probably already know Turbo ACs.
Yeah, I guess so, man.
Yeah. And yeah, man, reggae music, Peter Tosh.
Nice. Sweet. Anything else you guys want to get out there before we wrap it up here?
No, man, yeah. Come out and see us. We'll be touring, and hopefully we'll be back in Canada soon.
So we're looking forward to it.
Nothing ever seems to change here.
Seven Shot Screamers with a song called Change.
From the box that carries mail, this is From the Mailbox.
Taking us into Volume 30's From the Mailbox segment, that was a Regina duo by the name of Amoir Faux and a track called Art Sabotage. These guys are actually are two brothers that are in this band. It's Dylan and Justin Ludwig performing all the musical duties. And these guys put on a wicked, thrashy, politically influenced, very energy-driven set to open up the Horror Pops and Seven Shot Screamers show back in, I guess it was the 8th of October that we made that big road trip down to Regina to check it all out. If you guys want to hit up their MySpace page, there's a couple other songs you can check out. It's myspace.com/AMOURFOU. And they've got lots of links to different political organizations that you should check out as well. Very, very minded in what's going on. And I think that's sometimes what's missing from some scenes is the thought that goes along with the music, and these guys definitely brought it to the table. This last track by them is called Fuck Christian Hardcore. This is Hell.
We will burn in hell, burn in eternal damnation. shot, and we're going to be human beings. We're going to get fired up on the real things, the things that matter.
And we have one more From the Mailbox artist to get to before we close down Volume 30 of The Grind. But before we do that, we have some contest winner names to announce. In the last volume of The Grind, we ran a contest where you could pick up one of three copies we were giving away of Danish band Powderhog's brand new self-titled album. And congratulations goes out to Lauren in Victoria, BC, Greg in Chicago, and Steve in Lynchburg, Virginia, for knowing that Trachoma Records was the record label affiliated with Powderhog's new self-titled album. Let's get into that very last From the Mailbox artist. This is another band that was formed in Regina, Saskatchewan. They go by the name of Sylvie, and they have a new album on Small Man Records that just came out on the 21st of, just Tuesday of this week. It is called Trees and Shade Are Our Only Fences. And this track right here is called Please Make It Home.
Legend has it before this stone was empty plain with an empty throne.
Small Man Records artist Sylvie with a song called Please Make It Home. Sylvie is on tour right now with Minus the Bear down in the States. You can check out more information, more tour dates, music, all that kind of stuff on their MySpace page, myspace.com/SYLVIE music, or sylviemusic.com will also get you some more information. This last track here on Volume 30 of The Grind is one more by Sylvie, and this one is called Instruments of War. I'll see you guys next time on The Grind on punkradiocast.com.